Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever time of day it is, whatever day of the week it is, I welcome you back to this episode of the No BS Bishop. I am alive to love. I do believe with all my heart that all lesser values than love will devolve and slide into the potential of manipulation and controlling behaviors and a lot of negative things. Whenever we have roots that are less than love, we are drawing into a pattern of human behavior that can be codependent, it can be destructive and self-seeking. And we're going to talk today about good definitions of love. So welcome, get comfortable. I'm Bishop Randy Dean. I am here to offer you the counsel of 50 years of pastoral ministry. I've sat for multiple hours with, hundreds of people through the years in a counseling setting as a pastor. I'm not a professional counselor per se, but I have spent an awful lot of my time and energy. My calling as a pastor has led me to sit with people in their homes, more often than not in my study, or coffee shops, or wherever I can pull up a stool, a chair, a comfortable spot, and sit down with somebody who needs a little bit of help thinking through life's challenges. So that's what I invite you to here week in and week out on the No BS Bishop. I want to help you be alive to love. I want to give you counsel that I have found to be trustworthy in my own life. I want to assure you that I don't know it all. I want to give you the promise that I am not going to pretend that I can give you every line of definition that you need. But I can tell you that with the experience that I've been blessed with, and I do mean I have been blessed, it's been a treasure in my life to be honored with the ministry that I've had, but with the experience that I have been blessed with the knowledge that has increased in my life through the years, through study, through outreach, through conferences, mentoring with people in my life and through my life, I've learned a few things that I think it's valuable and important that I spend time in my life passing that on to others. And so I would invite you to my counsel. I would invite you to my study. I invite you to get comfortable, get a cup of coffee or the drink of your choice, relax, and just let me chat. Let me visit with you about love and how it really genuinely is, as the song says, love will lift you. Love lifted me isn't just a song. It's the preponderance of life's power. I do treasure how love has lifted me, and I have discovered some patterns and dynamics about it that I'll share with you today. Today I want to talk to you about the ever-growing definitions of love that must be a part of our experience as human beings. The ever-growing definitions of love. You see, I don't think love should be treated as if it were static or stationary, that it's just one little box that you open, and then, you know, when you're 12, 13, 14, or wherever, whatever age you might have been when you discovered love, and then you just cruise for the rest of your life. I do not believe that. I have discovered for myself and for multiple thousands of other people that love has to be ever inspected in terms of our practice, our understanding, our grasp. I also believe that because love is such an eternal subject, it is eternal because, as I say here repeatedly, he who dwells in love dwells in God, and those who dwell in God dwell in love. And since God is eternal, love is eternal, and it's going to require our patient exploration, our patient management of our mental health and of our emotional and spiritual health to come to some good, healthy, as we'll talk about today, growing definitions of love. I think it goes without saying, but I do want to give you just a little platform to think about here. What love was to you as a child cannot remain in that same category as an adult. And what love was as a young adult cannot remain in the same category that will be necessary for your experience in life as a senior citizen. Love has seasons. Love has has an ever-increasing need for our personal growth to define it well. So let me just give you what I believe are healthy definitions of love. Of course, we all know the 1 Corinthians 13 passage that is heralded. It's really a heroic passage. My reading of it never grows old. I find something in it every time I read it, and I find in it the possibility of more and more a need for me to grow, especially in my definitions. But here's a synopsis of 1 Corinthians 13. It basically says this: love is patient and kind, does not envy, love does not boast, love is not proud, love does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, keeps no record of wrongs, love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. The way I like to say that is love doesn't care who is right, love cares what is right, and even if I'm the who on the wrong side of what love was trying to happen or some truth was trying to happen, well then if I'm on the wrong side of it, I will rejoice in the truth. Love protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. And where there may be prophetic words of great oratorical power and strength, they will fail. They come and go. But where there is love, love never fails. That's 1 Corinthians 13. My own little summary of 1 Corinthians 13. Those are definitions, really, of love. But let me make really clear for you that in that what may seem to be simplistic definitions of love, 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8, let's walk through that a moment and talk through how in our definitions of love, these are certainly powerful little words that deserve a lot more attention than just some passing flipping of the page. Before I forget it, I want to make sure that you know that I'm aware of a book and a study series that has to do with the languages of love. I've read it. I've done a little bit of study into it. I'm not necessarily a fan of that, and nor am I one that would go to war with it. I don't feel that at all. I guess you would say I'm ambivalent. It's not either a plus or a negative to me, but it is to me. One thing I would point out is that I feel it can devolve into simplistic definitions and into some selfish pursuit of, okay, so if my love language is service, then I interpret you're serving me as love. It can devolve into a self-centered pursuit. And how do I know this? Well, once again, 50 years of pastoral experience has taught me that when people learn certain hardwired definitions for love, They tend to make that the center of the world, and they're in the center of that world. So I would warn against that. Again, not to say that I'm opposed to the study called The Languages of Love. I would just say that we need to have some ever-growing, a bit of an entrepreneurial approach to love. That's what I would suggest. That, you know, every day is an opportunity to grow in your love. How do I love differently, better, and more towards some perfect mark? So let's walk through 1 Corinthians 13 just for a few moments, and let me share with you how I see some opportunity for growing definitions. And the first horse out of the gate here in the race is love is patient. Stop. Full stop. Years ago, I heard this analogy that if I took the word love out of 1 Corinthians 13 and I put my name in there, then see how far you can get before you start squirming and feel a little squeamish. So if love is patient, let's put Randy's name in there. Randy is patient. Full stop. Now I've got to look in the mirror and ask some hard questions of this grown-up, or at least this little boy who's trying to be a 68-year-old grown-up. Randy is patient? Is he really? Is Randy really patient? So that gives you a kind of a leap off of the swimming dock here. This helps me tell you what it is I'm aimed at here. We're going to have growing definitions, because my patience today, the love is patient today, is not always going to serve me well going into tomorrow. It's not always going to serve me well in other relationships. If I have a job change, if I have a career change, if there's a, you know, in my family, there's a divorce or some bloody broken thing that happens in my family. Being patient as a loving person, it's going to require of me defining that broader in a more significant, useful, and practical way. Love is kind. Well, you know, today's kindness can be tomorrow's neglect. So if I'm kind in one area today, but I don't see to it that I'm growing, that my definition of love isn't expanding in kindness, so that my kindness doesn't become static or stale. Is my kindness just something I learned 20 years ago and that now I'm just practicing something as if there's no need for it to grow or get more kind, to be more kind? You see what I'm saying? We're going to have, going forward in life, ever-growing definitions of love. Because my love, as it is begun in life, is puts me in a place of the need for a continuing education. That I am ever learning, I'm ever contemplating, I'm ever praying about, I'm ever asking questions, I'm ever seeking out some way to apply love as I have understood it toward a love that will be more than I've ever understood before. So that in the course of my life, my loving behavior has had an opportunity to become something that I never dreamed in the beginning of my pursuit of love. So love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. Now, I'll just sit on that a moment. To be envious is to look at another and to reckon that what they got, you deserve, and they deserve it less. Or that you've earned what it is that seemingly came their way for free. Envy is a trap. Envy gets us caught in a circle that and within that circle there is no love. Envy is a trap of seeing to it that I'm comparing myself with others, seeing to it that others are being viewed by me as how somehow less than worthy of any of the blessings I've had in my own life. Love doesn't follow that path. Love sees that path as the antithesis toward love. So as you can tell, once again, this is a growing definition. When I'm envious as a child, well, then that may look like, in my own case, I used to get the small pack of crayons, the small box. I didn't ever get that big box of crayons with the magic crayon sharpener in the back of the box. I never got one of those. My family was relatively poor as I grew up, and so there weren't a lot of luxuries like that. So I would see other children around me, students in a classroom, and I'd see them with those big Crayola crayon boxes with that magic sharpener, and I would envy, and I would think about how I deserve that more than they do, or, you know, and I would even allow myself, I never did it, I just want you to know I never did it, but I would allow myself the thought, I wonder if I could steal a box. I wonder if I could slide that away from their desk and put it over into my desk. I wonder if I could somehow or another walk into the dime store. Anybody remember those? The dime store. Maybe I could slide that into my coat. It crossed my mind. I never did it. But as any little boy will tell you, or any little girl will tell you, when you see something that you just, oh my gosh, everything in you says, I need that. Don't ask them why they need it, but just because somebody else has it, says, I need that. But you see, love has to be defined in a way that grows beyond envy. So when I see others in a situation, in a job, in a promotion, in a move in life, in a new car, a new house, or whatever it may be, when I see those factors being seemingly lavished on somebody else, and then I think I deserve that more than them, well, now I'm sliding away from love, and I'm sliding into envy, and it is the antithesis of love. Because love rejoices with those who rejoice, weeps with those who weep. So when I'm in love and when I'm defining love throughout my life, it calls me beyond definitions that are easy that make me feel envy. It doesn't boast. Love is not proud. Love is not rude. It does not self-seek. It's not easily angered. Uh-oh, stop. Now, if I put Randy in there and say, Randy is not easily angered. Well, shucks. Oh, my gosh. Now I got to deal with my behavior. I got to deal with my attitudes. I got to deal with why am I allowing myself to narrow the definition of love down to self-approval when I'm angry. You know, that's what we do when we get angry. We give ourselves internal reasons why I deserve to be angry. I deserve to be fussy about this situation. Anger isn't necessarily the antithesis to love, because I can understand there is such a thing as righteous anger. But we got to be careful that we don't use that label, righteous anger, as a broad definition for every time I feel angry. I really need to ask myself, how will this anger expand my capacity for love? Ah, now we're stopped dead in our tracks, aren't we? Now we're stopped in our tracks and we have to say, whoops, my definition of love is in need of growth. Love is not easily angered. Love keeps no record of wrongs. Just take that in like a good drink of coffee. Savor the taste. Love keeps no record of wrongs. You know, when we keep a record of wrongs, it's the small things that'll just tick you off later because you've kept a record of multiple wrongs leading up to the last small wrong that's been done. And you'll find yourself blowing your top or shooting off your mouth or giving somebody a piece of your mind. I always like to say, be careful of giving somebody a piece of your mind. You may need that last piece for yourself. That's just kiddingly. But I say, when we give somebody a piece of our mind, we got to understand they too have a piece of their mind. And the peace of mind that we need looks more like love, not giving somebody a piece, a slice of our mind. But listen, when we keep a record of wrong, we're building up a layer upon layer upon layer upon layer until finally one small thing sets us off. Love finds itself in the conundrum of erasing the list of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. I've already let the cat out of the bag on that one, haven't I? When love is present in our life, it seeks the truth, even if the truth is unfriendly to my own idea of truth. If love is present in my life, it is seeking the truth, even if I discover that I've embraced something less than the truth that would really make me free, and I find that others have some level of truth that I didn't have. Love seeks the truth, even if it proves that I'm wrong. So it's not rejoicing in when I win, it's rejoicing in truth winning over any other capacity for understanding a dilemma. It rejoices with the truth. Love always protects. Of course, we can see that in the parental love, but carry that forward into life as you seek to protect the innocent, seek to protect the weak, someone who is more vulnerable than you, a protective heart, not codependent, but a protective heart. Always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres, but love never fails. Where there are prophecies, they'll cease. Where there are tongues, they'll be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it'll pass away. But love will be eternal. Faith, hope, and love, the Corinthians says. I call it the three eternalities. Faith, hope, and love will always be with the management of humankind. But the greatest of those three is love, because when faith is born of love, then faith reaches for a wider circumference of the good. When hope is birthed of love, then hope gets strength. I've always said hope is a frail emotional capacity. It's a feeling, and it ought to be a feeling. And feelings are great passengers. You know, if you got a feeling in the back seat, that's awesome. They can talk to you. But whatever you do, don't give feelings the car keys and drive you around, because your feelings will drive you crazy because they're not intended to be the driver. Hope is that. I believe hope ought to be a good passenger, granting good conversation and challenging us beyond our cynicism or our hopelessness or our depression or our anxiety. But when we give the keys to hope, we're forgetting that really the keys of the vehicle we're driving, those keys belong to love. Because when hope is born of love, then that hope doesn't disappoint. That's the kind of reasoning that I think will serve us well when we look for living with growing definitions of love. Now, I want to make something very, very clear. As I read this, every time I read 1 Corinthians 13, I imagine somebody living in an abusive situation, whether it be with a spouse or with a child or with a parent or with a boss or some place where abuse is present. You see, love doesn't say I have to stay in an abusive place and take whatever comes my way because then I'm loving. No, that's not love at all. Because what's happening in an abusive situation is that the abuser is targeting the seedbed, the nest, the heart of love in your life. And love becomes the target of an abuser because if real love is present, well, then love is seeking truth. And an abuser can't manage truth. The abuser wants to fight against truth no matter what the cost to reality is. I have been a part of and continue to be part of a 12-step program that has originated in Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm a big believer in the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, that we are called to a process and to a vision for a healthy life that is based on managing ourselves toward a reliance on a higher power and then a spirituality that carries us into freedom. And a part of that spirituality is recognizing that if there's an abuser in my life, if there's somebody who is an alcoholic or a drug addict, or there's somebody who's emotionally controlling and managing, trying to manage me more than they manage themselves, well then out of love, now listen to this carefully, out of love, I recognize the need to free myself of that kind of relationship so that I can move forward in life, not in spite of others, not to spite others, not to punish others, but to give myself the freedom to become the person I was born to be. And it'll take me down paths that will make me feel selfish. But if I'm truly managing my love well, I recognize that if I can be free from an abuser, again, whether it's drugs, alcohol, or manipulation, or narcissism, there's a wide spectrum here of abuse that can be going on. Or, you know, sexual abuse in a job situation. If you're on the receiving end of somebody who is sexually abusive, listen, be a lover of yourself and of God enough to get out of that pain. It is robbing you of the potential of a growing definition of love in your life. You are being robbed of time and quality in love for your life. So move toward your freedom. Find support, whether it be for a professional counselor or a pastor or maybe an AA group. Just join a local chapter of AA and be willing to sit there and listen to the stories and know that there is freedom for you to be a greater lover when you're free of being controlled by an abusive manipulator. So I always feel the need to put that caveat in a discussion of 1 Corinthians 13 because 1 Corinthians 13 is written by one of the toughest human beings to ever live, and that was the Apostle Paul. He was beaten, he was whipped, he was arrested, he was in shipwrecks that weren't of any of his own doing. This man, this giant of a soul who helped write most of the New Testament, was not somebody easily abused without his being able to speak to the abuse. But he was rooted and grounded in love. In fact, in Ephesians, he's the one who penned the words, that you be rooted and grounded in love. So may we each be rooted and grounded in love so that no matter what may come our way, our growing definitions of love will keep us ever pointed towards something that grows toward the beauty of a life lived for love alone. I'm alive to love. All lesser values to me devolve into other unsatisfying BS. I'm here to love no matter what the cost. And in my loving, I care of the seat of love that's in me so that it is never, ever given to the lowest bidder. It's always on to those who will come to appreciate, here's a person who is alive to love. All right, we're coming to the end of the broadcast. Thanks for being here for this episode of Alive to Love, the No BS Bishop, All Lesser Values Than Love. Just devolve and slide into BS. We close every time with learning. Breathing is not just an automatic thing. It's also intentional. That when you breathe well, you live well. And you lower your blood pressure, you calm yourself, and really you give yourself the possibility of being a better lover. So breathe on the count of three. Take a good long draw of breath. Pull in love from hold it in your lungs. One, two, three. Breathe in. Hold it in there. And hold deep. And exhale. I like to say that if you breathe in love, you're going to exhale gratitude. And the second thing we do with every episode of the No BS Bishop is that we're determined to look somebody in the eye. Find somebody, a child, an adult, a spouse, a good friend, whoever it is that you can practice this on, and do it routinely, because it'll teach you how to do it with a bigger spectrum of a greater circle of other folks. Look people in the eye. Don't just say, hey, I love ya. That's too fast. It's not intentional. It's not quality. Look somebody in the eye. And yeah, it's going to be awkward as you start trying it. But you'll get past that awkward sense when you feel and see and hold the reward of being fully authentic with your love. Look someone in the eye and say with each word savored, I love you. I want you to know that as I say that, I hope somebody's listening that needed those three beautiful, charmed, magical words. I love you. It's powerful. It's profound. It's life-changing. It changes the receiver, and it changes those of us who give it. It means so much when we can say it with good-heartedness and a good intention. Well, I've really traveled a lot of distance here intellectually and spiritually. I hope you got something from today's No BS Bishop. I'm alive to love. Thanks for joining us here for another episode. We're just going to keep doing this because it's a project that is so needed in our world today. Our world is in need of people who understand love alone is the credible value of all humankind. Now get out there and do something beautiful in this whole wide world because, oh, baby, ugly has been done to death. It's time for lovers to show up everywhere they go and arise and shine. Thanks for being here today. Happy trails.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.